The MySpace relaunch hint got 18 HN points and 16 comments, which is honestly about right for a story that's more nostalgia than substance. But the comment thread is fun because it surfaces a genuine tension. People who want MySpace back aren't really asking for the platform as it existed in 2006. They're asking for the cultural moment of creative personal pages, animated GIFs, and choosing your top 8 friends. Whether a relaunch captures any of that is deeply uncertain.
The Protopia piece from Kevin Kelly is related in a philosophical sense. Kelly's argument is that we've exhausted the cultural energy around utopia and dystopia as imaginative frameworks, and the more productive concept is Protopia, a world that's incrementally better rather than perfected or ruined. It's not the most technically dense post, but it generated thoughtful HN discussion about whether incremental progress is an adequate response to civilizational scale risks. Several commenters pushed back that Protopia is essentially a defense of the status quo, dressed up as optimism.
The hardware archaeology stories today are genuinely delightful. Let's start with the phone as server post, because it has 355 points and 139 comments, and it's the kind of build that makes you realize how much compute is sitting in everyone's junk drawer. The post at seg6.space describes running a full server, web hosting, file serving, the works, on a smartphone. The author walks through the specific choices. Android with Termux, reverse proxy tunneling, because residential IPs don't get port 80, storage via the SD card, and the thermal management problem that comes from a device not designed to run at full CPU utilization continuously.
The comments are split between, this is a neat hack, and actually, this is viable for low-traffic personal projects. One commenter ran the numbers. A modern mid-range smartphone has more compute than a Raspberry Pi 4, uses roughly comparable power, costs less new, and has a screen and battery backup built in. For someone who wants to self-host a personal blog or a small API, the total cost of ownership is competitive.
The thermal issue is real, though. Smartphones are designed for burst workloads, a few seconds of high CPU for launching an app, not sustained load for hours. The author mentions using a fan and noting that the phone ran warm, even so. It's a constraint that limits the server phone to scenarios where workload is genuinely light.
The OS888 project is a different kind of hardware archaeology, and it's one of my favorites today. This is a Mac-like operating system. Windowed, mouse-driven, graphical, built for IBM XT, 286, and 386 hardware. We're talking about machines with 640 kilobytes of RAM and CPUs running at 4 to 8 megahertz. The screenshots are remarkable. It looks like a credible approximation of early Mac OS running on hardware that was contemporaneous with it but never got this kind of interface. The OS has file management, application windows, even basic networking support on 286-era machines.
185 points and 100 comments. The HN crowd loves this. The comment thread debates whether this could have been commercially viable in the early 1980s if someone had executed on it, which leads into fascinating counterfactual history about why the IBM PC ecosystem stayed text mode for so long while Apple went graphical. The short answer most commenters converge on is that the RAM and CPU constraints were genuinely prohibitive at commercial scale in 1981. And by the time the 286 made it feasible, Windows was already on the trajectory that would dominate.
The Alpha 21264 CPU story from 1998 is even older archaeology. The Byte magazine article that surfaced on HN is a period review of Digital Equipment Corporation's flagship processor, which at the time was genuinely one of the fastest chips ever built. The Alpha architecture was a pure RISC design, reduced instruction set, and Windows NT was one of the operating systems it supported. The story of why the Alpha died, despite its technical excellence, is a business school case study. Compaq acquired DEC in 1998, decided the Alpha competed with Intel, and they'd rather have Intel's business, and killed it. An architecture that was objectively faster than x86 at the time was discontinued for commercial rather than technical reasons.
Which connects to the Microsoft Word 1.1a native x64 port project on GitHub. This is a developer named JMarshall23, who has taken the source code of Microsoft Word for Windows 1.1a, which dates to roughly 1990, and ported it to run natively on modern 64-bit Windows. No emulation, no compatibility layer. The architectural changes required are substantial. The original code was written for 16-bit segmented memory, which doesn't exist on X64. The developer had to refactor the memory model while preserving the application's behavior.
The HN thread is 40 comments, and it's engineers who clearly enjoy reading code from 35 years ago. One commenter notes that the original Word codebase is a window into a moment when developers had to be extraordinarily careful about memory because there simply wasn't much of it. The code quality, by modern standards of verbosity and abstraction, is spare to the point of being alien. But it worked. And apparently, it still works, ported to 2026 hardware.
Triton might be the most immediately practical story in this cluster. It's a DirectX 11 driver for QEMU, the open-source machine emulator developed by the UTM team. QEMU can emulate a huge range of hardware, but GPU emulation has historically been a weak point. Getting GPU acceleration working in a virtual machine, particularly for Windows guests on ARM-based Macs or Linux hosts, has required workarounds that ranged from awkward to completely broken. Triton is an attempt to give QEMU guests access to a proper DirectX 11 interface.
The 185 points and 39 comments reflect genuine excitement from a community that uses QEMU for development and testing. The practical implications are meaningful. If you need to run a Windows application that uses DirectX, which is most games and a lot of creative tools, in a VM, you currently have limited options. Triton would expand those options significantly. The HN discussion includes skepticism about performance overhead and questions about which guest or host combinations are supported, but the initial reception is positive.